This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
KPFT, kicking intolerant butt for over 30 years.
You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Good morning. Welcome to the New Capital Show. I'm Leo Gold, your host. It is July the 16th of 2009. This will be our last show in the 10 a.m. slot here on KPFT. Starting next week, we will move to 3 p.m. Same day, Thursday. But we will move to 3 p.m. As many of you know or are finding out, the schedule at KPFT is undergoing a change. And it's my hope that the change will, it'll certainly be different. It's my hope that it will be a net positive. It's going to rearrange some pieces and move them. Things are moving into the morning. Things are moving into the afternoon. I think most people know Democracy Now! Is moving earlier to 8 a.m., right? Is that right, Laura? Yeah. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., which I think will be good because that will give many people who currently are already at work and when it's played at 9 a.m. the chance to hear the show, and it will be repeated again at 5 o'clock. News is going to move times, and New Capital Show is moving as well. I'm pretty sure that the final schedule is going to be posted on our website, and probably promotional spots will discuss the new schedule. But for the purposes of our show, what I want to say is it has been a true pleasure to do the show at 10 a.m. I'm hoping that all of you will be able to tune in to the New Capital Show when it begins next week at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But if that's not the case, if your schedule doesn't permit, I want to tell you that it's been a true pleasure and an honor to have you join me every week for the past many years at 10 o'clock a.m. The show will still be available, as always, on podcast. So if you carry an iPhone or any kind of newfangled gizmo that can download or program podcasts, you can pick up our podcasts directly from our website, newcapitalshow.com. And you can also get them at iTunes, Apple's iTunes store, where podcasts are also available. So if for whatever reason your schedule does not permit you any longer to pick up New Capital Show at 3 p.m., you can still do so, of course, sitting at a computer at newcapitalshow.com or downloading a podcast, which we make available. I'm excited about the new slot, and I look forward to meeting, as it were, an entirely new audience and keeping our wonderful old audience as well. So thank you very much for the success and the support that you have given to us over all of these years at 10 o'clock a.m. I am truly humbled by it, and I am truly grateful, and I thank you. Coming up in just a few minutes, and I think it's appropriate that we will end the 10 o'clock version of New Capital Show with Harry Hayes, who is the Director of Solid Waste for the City of Houston, in charge of the trash programs and, of course, the recycling program here in Houston, will be joining us for a few minutes to give us an update on how their pilot project, their single-stream pilot project, is doing. If you have maybe a question or something that you want me to ask, go ahead and let's see if Twitter works. Twitter me, Leo Gold NCS. Some sort of question you want me to put to him, because we'll have just a limited amount of time with him. And so Twitter me at Leo Gold NCS if you've got something that you want me to put to Director of Solid Waste about recycling. Otherwise, I'm going to do my best to ask him some good questions in the time that we have him. Coming up, I'm sorry, it's a lot of housekeeping, lots of stuff going on at KPFT, so I want to make sure I do all of our housekeeping at the top of the show. Coming up this weekend, KPFT is having, it's a party. It's a party with an auction. You know, nonprofit organizations have galas and auctions, and Teresa Allen and Robin Lewis and others are really doing a great job in planning this thing. And it's the first time that it's going to be held. I'm hopeful that it will be held every single year. I think it's a great idea to have an event where our community comes together, people meet each other, and raise money for the station. And it's going to be held this weekend. Additional details you can get at kpft.org. Let me just pull them up here and give them to you, because you may be driving or something. It's going to be this. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Starting at 5:30, it's going to go till 9 o'clock. It's at the One Americas Plaza. Teresa says it's a great venue, 2311 Canal Street. Tickets are $10. So $10. I mean, you can't go to a restaurant for $10. So $10 is going to be food, a cash bar. You'll find me at the cash bar. I'm going to be there. So say hello. Management of the station will be there, and there will be items that you can bid on. Lots of great stuff. Vacation packages at country inns and massages, and I think that I'm going to be donating something as well, packages of financial planning, if that's something. $10 with a costume, $20 without a costume. So Laura says so you want to wear a costume. Doesn't have to be anything extravagant. You know, you can, I don't know, wear a hat or something. But I think that it would be great to have as many people as possible come to this event. We want to have a successful event. We understand that this is the first year of it. It's not going to be as full-fledged as if it was in its 10th year. But we want to have a successful event, and we should have a successful event. So more information is available at www.kpftauction.org. Let's see, what else? Service auction, new time slot. A couple of news items before we get to Director Hayes. ExxonMobil announces that it is going to make a serious investment in making fuel from algae. Exxon, for a long time, of course, has resisted any investment in the alternative energy area. And they are announcing, as of a few days ago, that they are going... ExxonMobil, whose chief executive once mocked alternative energy by referring to ethanol as moonshine, which frankly is not far from the case, is about to venture into biofuels. On Tuesday, Exxon plans to announce, and of course this news piece was on Monday, so they've already announced it. Exxon plans to announce an investment of $600 million. That's a pretty good chunk of change. $600 million in producing liquid transportation fuels from algae. Organisms in water that range from pond scum to seaweed. The biofuel effort involves a partnership with Synthetic Genomics, a biotech company founded by the genomics pioneer J. Craig Venter. You may remember Craig Venter was one of the scientists involved in the race to crack the human genome several years ago. There was the publicly funded race, and there was the private race, and Craig Venter headed the private race. The agreement could plug a major gap in the strategy at Exxon, the world's largest and richest publicly traded oil company. Frankly, it's the largest and richest publicly traded company, period, for that matter. The company has been criticized by environmental groups for dismissing concerns about global warming in the past and its reluctance to develop renewable fuels. Emil Jacobs, and Exxon does not do something unless it really believes that it's got a chance to succeed. It doesn't. Say what you want about the company. The company is extremely conservative with regard to how it allocates capital, and it doesn't. It would not spend this money if it didn't see promise in this effort, I can assure you. Emil Jacobs, Vice President for Research and Development at Exxon's Research and Engineering, says, "We literally looked at every option we could think of with several key parameters in mind. Scale was first, so it had to be able to scale up. For transportation fuels, if you can't see whether you can scale a technology up, then you have to question whether you need to be involved at all." He said, "I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This is not going to be easy. Any large-scale commercial plants to produce algae-based fuels are at least 5 to 10 years away," Dr. Jacobs said. And I don't think that's that far away, 5 to 10 years. Exxon's sincerity and commitment will almost certainly be questioned by its most galvanized environmental critics, especially when compared with the company's extraordinary profits. "Research is great, but we need new products," says Kurt Davies at Greenpeace. Again, interpreting the news, I'm heartened to see this. $600 million is a very significant investment in this area. Obviously, it's not going to be enough to do everything that needs to be done, but for Exxon to direct $600 million in this area, I think is a good sign. And it's not just a good sign for Exxon, it's a good sign for fuels from algae. I mean, this is a real vote of confidence for Exxon to take that step. A couple of other items in the news. China seeks to dominate renewable energy from Beijing. Keith Bradger of New York Times reports, when the United States top energy and commerce officials arrive in China, they will land in the middle of a building storm over China's protectionist tactics to become the world's leader in renewable energy. Calling renewable energy a strategic industry, China is trying hard to make sure that its companies dominate globally. Just as Japan and South Korea made it hard for Detroit automakers to compete in those countries, China is shielding its clean energy sector while it grows to a point where it can take on the world. Stephen Chu, the American Energy Secretary, and Gary Locke, the Commerce Secretary, are coming here to discuss clean energy and global warming with Chinese leaders and to see if progress can be made toward getting China to agree to specific targets for reductions in greenhouse gases. Agreement, of course, proved elusive during the recent Group of Eight summit, the G8 summit. Mr. Chu and Mr. Locke arrive as Western companies, especially Europeans, are complaining increasingly about Beijing's green protectionism. China has built the world's largest solar panel manufacturing industry by exporting over 95% of its output to the United States and Europe. So, you know, this is a critical issue. First of all, the United States, as we've talked about so many times, is behind in a renewable energy industry. And later in the show, after Harry Hayes comes on to talk about recycling, I'm going to turn my attention again to the critical issue of capital allocation in this country. As we know, Goldman Sachs reported record profits just the other day. It appears that J.P. Morgan, other banks are set to report record profits. The banks have been recapitalized. That has been ongoing. And, of course, when the financial crisis broke out in full bloom back in the middle of September, there were two tasks that needed to be accomplished. One, the banks and the financial system needed to be recapitalized. And two, the banks and the financial system needed to be re-regulated. Two major tasks. Well, what we can see is that one of those got taken on immediately, recapitalization. And one of my chief concerns is now that that has been done, apparently, how is it that we are going to re-regulate the system? It needs regulation in so many areas so that we get our allocation of capital right. And I'm going to have discussion about allocation of capital and put it into historical context. One more news item, then we'll take a quick break and Harry Hayes will join us. Walmart. I'm getting my paper version of today's Wall Street Journal. Walmart to assign new green ratings. Walmart stores unveiled an environmental labeling program for the products it carries in a step that could redefine the design and makeup of consumer goods sold around the globe, but also boost costs. Walmart on Thursday will tell suppliers they must calculate and disclose the full environmental costs of making their products, then allow Walmart to distill the information into a rating system that shoppers will see alongside prices for everything from T-shirts to televisions. The world's largest retailer by revenue, once disparaged by environmental groups, said the new initiative represents a bold new step in its efforts to reduce energy consumption, cut waste, and introduce sustainable products. A couple years ago, we did a show on Walmart, talked about the steps that Walmart at that time was just beginning to take. The company's image, of course, had taken an enormous pounding, not least of which came from organizations like KPFT 90.1, rightfully so, as we criticized the retailing giant's lack of effort in the area of environment, of cutting waste, of sustainability. There are still criticisms of the company's labor approach to labor and approach to health care coverage for employees, although the company is now signaling that it, in fact, intends to break from the retailing lobby itself and advocate for coverage of workers. And I would say that Walmart, in my opinion, is doing a much improved job of addressing the issues that need to be addressed for it to be a modern-day retailer. This is just another indicator, Walmart to assign new green ratings. And I would say that if Walmart says that there are going to be green ratings and information is going to have to be provided, that its suppliers, 100,000 suppliers to Walmart, over which Walmart yields enormous influence, they will have to do it. Of course, as we know, Walmart has created a lot of very unhealthy labor practices and environmental practices in China. Walmart has been, in many ways, the conduit for cheap products coming from China to American consumers. Not in many ways. It has been the number one conduit for that occurring. And there is a very close link between consumption by Americans of cheap products, unhealthy products. There have been scares over Chinese paint on toys and dairy and on and on, and a lack of oversight over the Chinese manufacturing process. It's my hope that this will go some way toward rectifying that. But overall, I would say that I am pleased that Walmart is making moves. It needs to do much, much more. All American companies, all global companies need to do much, much more. Finally, I know that everyone is watching many people are watching the hearings on Sonia Sotomayor. Very, very important hearings. Another very important hearing taking place today. In fact, in some ways, it may be the more important hearing today now that a lot of the Sotomayor hearings have had testimony from Ms. Sotomayor. Senators have made their comments. There's been some degree of cross-examination. But today, Henry Paulson, the former Treasury of the Secretary, is appearing before Congress to discuss what did he know, how did he go about bailing out banks, how did he go about merging banks, how did he go about causing Bank of America to purchase Merrill Lynch, and so on and so forth. In my opinion, this is the testimony of the day, and I think it is already underway. It is already underway in Washington, began earlier this morning. This is the New Capital Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Director Harry Hayes he is the director of the Solid Waste Department here in the city of Houston, Texas, and we will be talking with him about what's going on and how's it going with new initiatives in the city's recycling and waste disposal program. Back in just a moment.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering. Where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering. Where it will go. And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong. See the people standing there who disagree and never win and wonder why they don't get in my door. I'm painting my room in a colorful way. And when my mind is wandering, there I will go.
Welcome back. As we know, last year we submitted a petition to City Council and to the mayor in which we argued that more needed to be done for the city's recycling program. Coincident with that, a New York Times article appeared, which was heavily critical of the city's efforts and indicated that the city was basically very far behind other cities, other major cities of at least comparable size. And since that time, the city has announced additional initiatives under the leadership of Director Harry Hayes, who basically came into the job just a very short time ago, about a year ago, maybe a little bit more. Harry has been on the show before, and it is a pleasure to welcome him back today. Harry Hayes, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Leo, for having me.
It's great to have you back. Tell us what's going on. How's it going? My parents they live in the Meyerland-Braeswood area. They received a large single-stream recycling bin, and I mean, they went to town. They are recycling more and better than they ever have. Is that happening with this program?
Yes, it is, Leo. We have seen a number of great signs from the initial 10,000 customers that we've switched over. The average weight per recycling collection has more than doubled.
Oh, my gosh.
We have seen our set-out rates for the single stream. They're hovering in the low to mid 60%. And I believe the last numbers I looked at a couple of weeks ago, we were sitting on top of about 62% set-out rate.
Versus what was 10% for the other program, or for the existing program, is that right?
It was about 23% for the old bins. You know, your parents had the old bins.
Yeah.
We were doing about a 23% set.
So three times the set out rate.
Just about.
Oh my gosh.
Just about. Yeah, I'm very pleased with what we're doing, and you know, obviously there are some benefits that the customers don't readily see, but they make a lot of good financial sense for us because the increase in weight per recycling collection means that what would otherwise have gone into a landfill is now being reused, and so we're not paying that extra tipping fee for landfill disposal.
So you're saying that you are, not only are you seeing, and we would expect to see this, you're seeing an increase in recycling amounts with the single stream, but you're seeing a decrease in waste going into the regular trash bin.
Exactly. We're looking, I believe, by the third week of August, I believe the date is August 21st or somewhere thereabouts. I may be off by a week. But the team is already planning an additional 11,000 homes that will be added to the single stream program.
So that would bring it to 21,000 households in the city.
That's correct. And then by the end of this year, we anticipate that we will have up to an additional 50,000 homes that would be added to single stream.
Oh my gosh!
Pretty working on that.
So this is an unmitigated success, is it not?
It is. It really is.
I mean, all I can say is congratulations.
Well, we've had a lot of help along the way. Certainly, your show, your listeners. You know, we've seen increases in our volumes at our drop-off sites and our neighborhood depositories, which we're going to rebrand as neighborhood recycling centers. We're adding two new neighborhood recycling centers that will be open by the end of this year, one in Southwest Houston. So those customers who currently don't have a neighborhood recycling center will have one very close to them. It's going to be located on the Beltway at U.S. Highway 59 in a great location.
Mm-hmm.
The other one will be at near downtown off of North Main and Cross Timbers, and it will be co-located with our reuse warehouse.
Yeah. There's been some controversy. I've gotten calls and emails about the it was a proposed shutdown of a facility off of Washington Street. Can you tell us about that and where that stands?
Well, we're working with the new council member and the community, obviously, and the administration. You know, we're looking at that. There was some pushback from part of the community, and I think it's really due to a lack of understanding
mm-hmm.
Of the difference between a trash facility and a recycling facility. You know, obviously a trash facility is trash, and a recycling center is the exact opposite. You know, what we're trying to do with our Center Street site, it's extremely valuable piece of land. We want to sell that.
Land is selling for, I think, what, $80 a square foot there?
Yeah, we want to sell that, and with an offer, preliminary offer that we have seen, we could get a significant profit on that land based on what we acquired it for.
And then would you replace that with something relatively nearby?
That is what we want to do. We want to have a state-of-the-art facility, something along the lines of the West University drive-up drop-off.
That's the one at right off West Park.
That's correct.
Near the Good Company restaurant.
Exactly. And Leo, what we really want to add, and what we're going to take the profit that we would get from the Center Street site, is add a children's education center and park that would tout the benefits of recycling. I mean, that's our target, you know. My kids, and I'm sure your listeners out there, the kids that are exposed to recycling at home, they get it. They see it on Nickelodeon, the Disney Channel, Cartoon Network. They get it. They bring it home. They take it to the grandparents' house. And what better thing to have than a recycling facility with a children's education center?
And it would be a park as well. So
exactly.
So it would come. So children would get the idea that recycling is fun.
Exactly.
I think it's great. Where does that project stand?
It's on hold. We're studying that.
Uh huh. I like it.
and we're working with the community on that. But
is there, if listeners like it, is there some response they should send in to you or something like that?
They can do that. I mean, obviously we accept, you know, we love having folks support, and we know, certainly based on the available landfill airspace, Houston needs to divert as much waste as possible.
Yeah. So if you were, I'm sure you've briefed the mayor on how the single stream is going. I don't know if you've gone before city council. Has that happened yet?
Yes, it has.
And so what did you tell them, basically, when you spoke with the mayor and city council about the single stream, when they said basically what I've asked? How's it going?
It's going great, and they know that. We give them routine updates, and everyone's fully in support of what we're doing. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and so it's not only right, but it's working. And so the issue now is how do you get the capital you need so you bring this great thing to the citizens at large of the city?
Well, we have been funding the expansion of the program through the sale of the recycling commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know what has happened with that. You know, it's kind of tanked.
Yes.
And so where we were looking at getting $45 a ton, I think that number is down to $2 a ton.
Oh, my gosh. But I don't think it's going to stay there, Harry.
Oh, no. No. We expect it's going to rebound.
If I was a betting man, I'd go long on trash commodity.
Exactly.
Recycling commodity.
Exactly.
So then the question is, how will you get the capital you need to enlarge this project?
Well, we still have other things that we can do and are working at doing in-house. You know, we have briefed the full council on expanding our green waste with biodegradable bags only for yard trimmings. In implementing that program, we anticipate that we will be able to reduce the size of our yard waste fleet, because many customers will choose to mulch their leaves and grass, which is the best thing for the yard anyway.
How is it that how many households are there in the city that how many households are there in the city of Houston? I don't even know the number.
We provide service currently to approximately 375,000.
Yeah. So how is it that the single stream program will eventually reach the 375,000 households? Is there some plan that the city council has requested from you? Tell us how fast you can roll this out and over what time period and how much it'll cost.
We have presented a plan which would expand recycling over a five-year period, mm-hmm. with by funding the program through the sale of the recycling commodities. Obviously, we had a dollar amount that we based that on. It was $15 a ton. We've dropped below that. Those prices need to rebound for us a bit so that it would be a self-sustaining program.
But would you ever go back or to city council and say, look, here's the choice. We're in a low commodity price environment right now. We'd like to ask city council to see about some sort of taxing surcharge on property taxes or whatever taxes or sales taxes, something, in order to fund this program. Meaning, do you think citizens would be in favor of that?
Well, that is an option, and certainly we're looking at all options. I would say that before I would ask council to impose a fee on residents, I would want to ensure that I have done everything internally to make sure that our solid waste system is structured properly, so that the dollars that we are allocated are being spent in the right way. I mean, you look at it, Leo, we anticipate saving $3 million in disposal costs just by using the tree waste, junk waste collection money.
How much money?
About $3 million.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there will also be other costs. I don't have those numbers in front of me. During the tree waste months, our work day is a lot shorter, and so our equipment time is shorter, and so we have some internal savings on fuel and maintenance. And so those savings are also being directed towards expanding the program. I guess my bottom line is, before I would tell the administration or say to the council that, you know, I need more money, I need to have satisfied myself that this department is running as efficiently as possible. And right now, I do know that there are some initiatives that we're working on that are going to bring us some additional savings. I mean, heck, we just rerouted the north side of the city. We anticipate saving $500,000. That's going to be thrown at this program for expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you what we're talking about, Leo, that reroute caused a service day change for 86,000 customers. And we anticipate an average route reduction of between 25 minutes to an hour. The longer the time, the greater the internal savings the department will have. And so, hence, those dollars go toward expanding recycling. I mean, do you understand what we're talking about?
Yes. What you're talking about is trying to make up for the drop in commodity prices with efficiency gains in other parts of the department.
Exactly.
Before you go and try to seek other revenue from city council that would come directly from households.
Exactly.
So, are you able to say that the singles, when you look and you survey your assets in your department, when you look at the single stream pilot that's going on, it's currently reaching 10,000 households. You've indicated it's a great success, three times the participation rate of the current small bin program. You're expanding that to 11,000. You've got plans to go to 50,000, although it sounds like the funding for that is in question right now.
No,
it's not. Oh, 50,000 is there.
No, that funding is not in question. We have, as part of the 2009 economic stimulus, we're set to receive $3.2 million.
Oh, terrific.
I believe toward the end of September.
So part of the federal stimulus will go toward expansion of this recycling program.
Exactly, for energy efficiency, greenhouse gas reduction, and the application of that is us being smart. Greenhouse gas reduction not only counts for industry, but it also counts towards a single individual's home.
Okay. So are you able to say that the single stream program with the large recycling bin, it is the future? Unequivocally, it is the future of the recycling program in Houston.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, that's nationally. You can say that nationally. That's where everyone is going.
Okay, so everyone can rest assured that is the case. The question is just how fast does it reach all households in Houston?
That's exactly correct.
And greater demand by households in Houston to get this solution would probably result in faster funding and more tepid demand. So in other words, consumer participation in this issue will continue to be important for your efforts. You need support to be able to expand it more quickly.
Most definitely. And Leo, one other piece I failed to mention is that we have partnered with HGAC and we've gotten an additional grant from them. And for the this 10,000 plus the additional 11,000.
Remind everybody what HGAC is.
That's the Council of Governments for the Houston-Galveston area.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a grant from them, and the 20,000 homes will be a part of the Recycle Bank, where their containers will be coded, and they will be able to qualify for rebates and coupons at local area businesses based on the amount of recycling that they do.
Now, this I know about this Recycle Bank. This is a business that was started, was it not? It's a program started by a private business.
That's correct.
That has promoted these programs to create incentives for people to recycle, and it's apparently been very successful in other cities.
You're exactly right.
So we're
bringing that here to Houston.
So Recycle Bank will be part of the city of Houston.
Yeah, it will be part of this pilot,
and
we're going to see how well this works. And as they sign up local businesses and folks participate, as we grow the program, it's my hope, as we grow recycling, the single-stream recycling, it would be my hope that we could grow a rewards program with it.
Yeah. At what point do we say this is no longer a pilot? This is the new way? You may already be there. I don't know.
I will let you know that in 6 months.
Okay.
I'm from the country, and I don't like to count my eggs until I get inside the hen house.
Understood. And let's talk about you. Do you know if you will continue under a new mayoral administration? What are the issues involved there?
Well, I'm a political appointee,
uh-huh.
And I serve at the pleasure of the mayor, and my future depends on the mayor. But I would hope that I would continue to serve as solid waste director.
Yeah,
I'm not running around, saying the sky is falling. I mean, I'll do this job as long as this mayor or any other mayor will have me.
Yeah, and if listeners want to know what they can do to support the single stream program, other programs, what is the best thing that they can do? What are some things they can do? Write their council person?
They can write their council person. They can write the mayor. They can go on our website. They can send me an email at the solid waste director. There are any number of things. Certainly be involved in your neighborhood and civic association. And Leo, there are a number of things that we can do flexibly. You know, if a community does not have recycling currently and they want to be a part of it, then, let us know that. I mean, we're working with these neighborhoods trying to build a communications infrastructure. Go on and sign up for CitizensNet so that as we send messages out, you're a part of that. Government is only as responsive as the people are to it, and being informed is a big part of that. And I just can't tell you how much we appreciate you for making sure that you're reaching as many people as you can with your message, and it's really benefiting this whole region.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to have you on, Harry. Our show's moving to 3 p.m. Starting next week, and so as we progress, maybe we'll have you on in a few months. Continued success. As I say, my parents are really making great leaps and strides with their own personal recycling. It was immediate. They began to fill up that larger single-stream bin. Before, they were only doing their newspapers in the smaller bin, and now they're much more conscientious. So I want to congratulate you, and I want to thank you for the efforts that you're making to lead this program and to expand it in the city of Houston.
Well, thank you, Leo.
Great to have you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Director Harry Hayes, Director of Solid Waste for the City of Houston. There you have it. The program is regarded as highly successful. They're getting recycling rates three times what the small green bin program, the old program, the old large program is getting. But as you hear, as is clear, there is still not money being made available by our city, by our citizens, by our city council, however you want to call it. And Harry Hayes is having to scrape together money to expand this program. That was clear from his comments. That's reading between the lines. So if you want this program expanded and you want to see single stream, because clearly the expansion of recycling in the city of Houston, the increase of recycling, the reduction of the amount of waste that's produced in the city and goes into landfills is dependent upon this program being expanded. Period. That's what it's going to take. So, I'll tell you what. If you want, send me an email. Go to newcapitalshow.com. If you want to say something to Harry Hayes, send it to me. I've got his email address, and I'll send him all the emails that you send to me. So if you want to see the single stream program expanded, and again, the single stream program is a big bin where you fill it up. It's even bigger than the normal trash can, and a truck comes, dumps it all in the truck, and the sorting takes place on an assembly line at a sorting facility. So the volumes that you are able to collect in your bin and the volumes that the city is able to sort are much, much higher. It's an unfortunate situation that commodity prices have dropped so precipitously, but I don't think that they're going to stay down forever, and I would expect that over time they're going to creep back up and that won't be a problem. Still, I don't think the city should rely only on commodity prices to fund it at this time. The program is critical enough that I think we in the city should be willing to pony up some amount of dollars, either through an increase in sales taxes or property taxes. I know people don't want to see a large increase in their taxes, but I don't think it would take a huge one. I think a small surcharge, maybe a dollar a month or something. Who knows? Listener says they want me to describe the difference between the single stream. Well, I just did it. I'll do it again. The current system is small bins, and the sorting takes place curbside. So it's not a lot of recycling you're able to get in those bins. That's the first problem. The second problem is all the sorting has to take place curbside, which is a very labor-intensive, cumbersome process. You have to have lots of people on a truck, and I'm all for jobs, but it's just not the place to put the jobs. The place to put the jobs is in a single stream system. In a single stream system, much like the way trash is now picked up, with an arm picks up the whole trash, is dumped into a truck, and then it's carted off. The same thing happens in a single stream recycling program. A large recycling bin, similar in size to our trash cans, is filled up with recycling. An arm on a truck picks it up, dumps it into the truck. The truck then drives over to a sorting factory, and in the factory, the trash goes onto a conveyor belt, and it's sorted there. So that's where I want to see the sort process take place, because that is a far, far more efficient process and a far faster process. That system is proven to increase recycling rates, and Harry Hayes just said we're getting three times the amount of recycling with the single-stream program. So that program is critical, and that's what we said to City Council last year when we went to City Council. We said, other major American cities are putting this program in. It is now the way that recycling is done in other cities, like Portland, like Los Angeles, like Seattle, you name it. But it's still being done with the old type of system, and we wanted the city to commit to a new system. What the city did was launch a pilot program, and as Harry Hayes said, that pilot program has been highly, highly successful. So there it is. There's the update. If you want to send me email in support of expanding, and maybe we'll go to City Council again. Maybe that'll be the next thing we do. What do you think, Laura? Should we go back? Maybe we'll launch another petition. that says, we want money made available to expand this program. Should we do that?
Yes, you should.
Boy, like, I don't have enough to do, huh? All right, hold off on the emails. Maybe that'll be what we'll do next. We'll launch a petition drive for the city to come up with ways to fully fund the single stream process. This is a critical project. We have to be a responsible city. We have to be responsible citizens. We can't generate vast amounts of waste in our area and not take responsibility for conscientious disposal. And what I think is economic disposal, when you add in all the costs, and is environmental disposal. So we have to recycle, reuse, repurpose, and so forth. So this is a critical program. We have many, many, many critical programs that face our country, that face our municipality, that face our communities. And what we know now, what seems apparent to me, is that the past 30 years, and probably longer, these years have been a battle, really even a war, over who has the right to raise capital and allocate capital in our society. I've gotten some critical emails recently from some listeners who've said, you know, you've been blaming Republicans, you've been blaming conservatives lately, and, you know, you didn't start out that way. You seemed more even-handed when, you know, I don't know exactly what they're saying, but I have some idea. The truth is, I call it like I see it. I've got a degree from a business school. I'm a financial advisor. I come from a family that has conservative voters in it. There's no reason why I wouldn't be predisposed by upbringing, by attenuation, and education. I'm calling it like I see it. I would like a revitalized conservative wing of American politics. But it's going to have to come about through thought in my opinion, has more integrity and more integrity than I've seen. So I'm just calling it like I see it. And what I see is that the past 30 years, there's been a battle over capital. And the conservative thought has been that only private industry, only private banks have the right to raise capital and allocate capital. I understand that they have believed this to the bottom of their hearts. I'm not saying bad faith has been at work here, that they've been saying things that they don't honestly believe. But the results of this are now clear. When you only allow the banks of the country to raise capital, and when you cut taxes, let's be clear, when you cut them and cut them and cut them and cut them, what do people do when they get tax refunds? Where do they put them? They don't put them under the mattress. They put them in the bank. And then who has the control of that capital? The banks. And that's what happened, is that the banks became overcapitalized. The capital became too easy for the banks. Of course, it still is. Now it's being given to them directly by the Federal Reserve during this crisis in large amounts. But before that, it was being done through tax cuts and other mechanisms. I'm not for high taxes, but the government has to have some fundamental ability and right to raise capital and allocate capital for certain projects. Just take the recycling program in the city of Houston. Just take that program. Only the city government is really in a position to pull that project off. And frankly, it's not in a position right now financially even to pull it off from that perspective. But trash collection is something that the city is uniquely in a position to do. Are we to prevent our city government from having the right to raise and allocate the capital necessary for proper disposal, modern disposal of trash and recycled products? Well, that's what's happened in our country over the last 30 years under Republican conservative leadership. They have issued a philosophy that says only private industry and private markets get it right. Only they have the ability to allocate capital efficiently. And so we want to cut government. We want to cut taxes. And what we got was allocation of capital for really only one type of purpose: consumer-oriented projects. And what was the largest consumer-oriented project of all? What was, if you had to come up with a private infrastructure project that's as big as you could get it, what would it be if you're the banks? It's housing. It's no mystery why we got a housing bubble. Because all the capital was going into banks, not all, but marginally a lot more was going into the banks. And the banks, were they putting it into public schools? Were they putting it into recycling programs? Were they putting it into municipal parks? No. Because those aren't projects that provide cash flow. Well, friends, not every project is going to provide cash flow. But not all returns can be calculated from cash flow. As I've said for years, you have to calculate the full cost and the full benefit of things, and they can't all be calculated in financial capital. And so if all of our capital was being redirected to banks, we were only going to get projects which were characteristic of projects that banks lend for. I am not advocating that we get rid of banks. Far from it. We need to have good, healthy banks, and we need to have good, healthy private lending. But we also need to have good, healthy public capital raising and public spending. They both need to be done well. What is an extremist? An extremist is someone who believes that capital should only be raised and allocated by one segment of our society. Whether you are on the right, if you believe that only private markets, only private banks are the only financial intermediaries who should be allowed to raise capital and allocate capital, you are an extremist. And our country has been led by extremists. And those extremists are still at work. And they need to be squashed. Nicely, gently, but squashed. Till they're out of business. If you are on the left and you believe that only government has the right to raise capital and allocate capital, and that there is no place for private intermediaries, for private projects, you are an extremist. We must have the right balance in our society. The right balance is evident when we have the right amount of housing, the right size of houses. Excess capital is not being spent on excess capacity for excess sized houses, excess amount of stuff in the houses, excess amount of driving miles to get people to and from places, excess amount of cars on freeways, excess amount of freeways. We have to have the right balance so that it also includes public transportation, municipal parks, recycling programs, social safety nets, and so on and so forth. It's my hope that we are in the process of rebalancing our capital raising and allocation in our society. You want to call it taxes or fees, whatever, I don't care. All I'm interested in is the right balance. We need the right end result. In the past few weeks, we're seeing hiccups, we're seeing concerns, we're seeing counterattacks. That's going to continue to go on. Don't expect that to stop. But everybody has to be clear about what the end result needs to be. Restoration of capital allocation balance in our society so that the government is able to raise the right amount of revenue and also engage in the right projects, The projects have to be critically right, and private enterprise and private financial intermediaries are also receiving the right amount of capital from the population and allocating it appropriately. We've got to get that balance right, and we have not had balance. Neither one of those entities has any kind of monopoly on getting projects right. We see very clearly that private banks have not gotten those projects right. They had every incentive and all the amount of capital, and they went out and took risks that were unconscionable and cratered themselves. And they're being bailed out by the government now. As I said earlier in the show, recapitalization without re-regulation is not going to work. We're not going to get a system that works. Look at all the re-regulation that needs to be done with the banks. Should we re-divide investment banks from commercial banks? What about compensation in banks? If banks are receiving their capital at low subsidized rates from the Federal Reserve, why shouldn't there be caps on compensation or at least clawbacks? There should be a clawback that says you will be paid, you will have to keep some of it in escrow. If the risk goes bad, you will have to pay back the risk for executives and other high-up risk takers. Capital ratios need to be modified. Derivatives need to have much greater transparency in swaps. Securitization has issues. We need to make it so that a bank that securitizes or an institution that securitizes something or a set of cash flows, it has to maintain some ownership of those cash flows, even if it sells off the majority of it, so that it has some skin in the game. What about consumer protection? We cannot recapitalize without re-regulating. Both of those things must occur. Recapitalization has and is taking place. We are still waiting on re-regulation. We will have a problem if we don't get the other piece of it. The other piece is critical to balance. And we must have balance in capital allocation. We are just about out of time. Before we sign off for the last time on our 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock slot here, before we move to 3 p.m. next week, I want to tell Laura Slavin, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Laura is going to stay in the morning, even though I'm going to the afternoon. I want everyone to know that this show would not have happened all these years without you, Laura. You have been a fantastic, fantastic engineer. All the times I've come in here half prepared, a quarter prepared, not knowing what I'm going to say, needing help on this and that, you have been there to support me and to make me look a lot better than I am or deserve to look. I wish you all the luck in the world. I will see you around. And all KPFT listeners owe you a much greater debt of thanks than they can even imagine.
You are way too kind.
Thank you. We'll be back next week at 3 o'clock p.m. 3 o'clock p.m. Opposite Sean Hannity, I think, right?
Yeah.
I hope you will tell everybody, don't listen to Hannity. Listen to Gold. This has been the New Capital Show. Back next week. Until then, take care.
Houston Press Music Awards Showcase, featuring 50 bands on 10 stages. Sample the sounds of over 50 local Houston bands on Sunday, July 26th. Doors open at 4 p.m., bands begin at 5 p.m. Wristbands, t-shirts, and tanks are on sale now at Cactus Music, on HoustonPress.com, and at all participating venues the day of the event. Participating venues include House of Blues, Hard Rock Cafe, Rock Bar, Mosaic, Flying Saucer, Isis Houston, Martell's, Red Cat Jazz Cafe, and Dean's Credit Clothing. Attendees must be over 21. New this year, complimentary shuttle services provided by Super Shuttle. Proceeds benefit the Music Therapy Center of Houston. Coming July 26th. Don't miss this year's Houston Press Music Awards Showcase. KPFT, Houston.
We're supposed to wear costumes to the KPFT auction. It's a wear that funky costume kind of thing. Fabulous prizes will be awarded to the most awesome, weird, provocative, strange, ecstatic, unemployed, disastrous moment collage of creativity ever put on the KPFT listener body. If decorating your body isn't enough, you could buy a table and decorate it too. Place elephants, giraffes, gorillas, monkeys, lions, cats, cardboard cutouts, posers, fake pirates, runaway radios, ex-spouses, sod, trees, airplanes, boats, trains, surgeons, giant squids, and useless junk on your table. Eat around it, drink around it, share what it means with you. It may be therapeutic, but probably not. More likely just embarrassing. But if you take the grand prize home, who cares?
Uh-huh. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.